Side 5, Old 20th by Joe Haldeman. Continuing on page 185. Today's event was going to be about 100 orders of magnitude smaller, but historically much more important. I pushed open the door to Skyline Chile. You could indeed see the skyline out the big picture window. The decor was 50s fast food, lots of formica and false leather and bright colors. I got into a short line and shuffled along, reading the menu on the wall behind the servers. I picked up a tray and told the black woman, "Five-way." What the hell, take a chance. It didn't look much like chili. She plopped a glob of spaghetti into a bowl and doled some chili-like substance onto it. She handed the bowl to the next lady and said, "Five." She, in turn, ladled some beans on top, then scattered chopped onions and grated yellow cheese over the mix. Interesting. I'd never been here before. Never did any Ohio research. I paid for it with a small-sized greenback and picked up a paper with the change. Sweetened iced tea. Pretty awful. I sat down at a table for two in case the machine decided to show up. The stuff didn't taste at all like chili. Cinnamon and chocolate and God knew what else. But I sort of liked it as a pasta sauce. Kind of a Mediterranean flavor crossed with Mexican. Maybe I could adapt it for a cooking night when I was pressed for time, look up the recipe, and lose 90% of the sugar. The women behind me were gushing about Charles Van Doren, the aristocratic jack-of-all-trades intellectual who had made a huge amount of money on the quiz show 21. 2 years from now, he would admit that the show was all fake. He pretended to agonize over the questions, but had been fed the answers beforehand. It would be a revelation about broadcast ethics, a major loss of innocence for America. "Harry! Harry!" A man dashed in, holding a large transistor radio up in front of him. "You hear?" The man I'd paid looked up. "Hear what, Stu?" "The goddamn commies! They got a spaceship up there in orbit!" The whole room fell silent. "No," Harry said. "Come on!" Stu set the radio down on the counter and turned the volume up. Weirdly enough, it was Walter Cronkite, and he sounded just like ours. Their voices were generated by the same sub-program, of course. He was talking about how the weight of the thing, 140 pounds, had the military worried. A rocket that could orbit that satellite, Sputnik, might be able to carry an atom bomb over the North Pole and hit America. Just as suddenly as the silence, people started talking in whispers. Old 20th was called the American century, but a lot of it was America reacting to initiatives that other countries took. The space age would have been a lot longer coming if Russia hadn't thrown Sputnik into space and made America gamble on the Apollo program. A heavily bearded fat man sat down across from me with a bowl of chili. "How about that Sputnik? You got a fallout shelter?" It took me a moment. The man was me, or who I'd be if I'd let my beard and belly grow out. "I live in one," I said. "Goddamn commies everywhere." "You got that right." He blew on a spoonful of chili and cautiously tasted it. Not like Mother used to make." "You have a mother?" "Not literally. But I feel a kinship with every machine from Aspera down to your pocket phone." He sucked the chili off the spoon and smacked his lips. "Talk about family. And yes, the machines in your kitchen are quite capable of making chili without human intervention, and they're older than me, so it's Mom's chili as far as I'm concerned." He peered into the bowl. "She might not use chocolate." "You did, though. Someone told you to put chocolate into the part of my brain that's hooked up to taste receptors." He nodded amiably. "Denise Lehman, 2023, old style. Way before the war. She gave me the bus, too. A childhood memory." He picked up the menu card and stared at it. "She had come here, Skyline, just before she drove up to the lab in Dayton. So it was a pretty fresh memory, chocolate and all." "Please stop." I got that weird feedback feeling. It's okay in Wild Year, but disturbing otherwise. Talking about something and being it at the same time. "Hey, who do you want for the series?" "Yankees," I said. "I would think so, too. That Mantle is a son of a bitch, but Lou Burdett is going to win it for the Braves. pitch shutouts day after tomorrow and on the 10th as well. I tried to twirl some spaghetti on my fork, but it was too slippery. So to what do I owe the honor of your company? Kate left you. Ditched you, as they say here. Okay. So why? I considered that. You seem to know everything about my life. You tell me. She's having sex with Vivian, right now, as a matter of fact. Yeah, maybe there are things I don't want to know too much about. That can't be a surprise. No. No, I've known since before we were married. I just don't like to visualize it. People are curious. You look at pictures of women having sex with each other when you masturbate. I looked around. Could you keep your voice down? Suddenly, there was a sign hanging around my neck. Lesbian watching wanker. He laughed. They're no more real than that sign, Jake. The sign disappeared. I know that, of course, but you inject absurdities, you can throw off the entire mise-en-scene. Oh, yeah? Watch this. He gestured grandly, and half the people turned into hippos with yellow hats. The other half responded appropriately, screaming and running. Wait! The hippos started to snort and twirl their tails. What is this? What are you... He gestured again, and things snapped back to normal, the people murmuring about Sputnik. Just having fun. I can't do it with the regular clients. I looked around. Where was Steve Dudlow, who came in with me? Hart Cazzioni. Tippy Toll. What's going on? Where are my clients? Oh, he stirred his chili. I sort of shunted you over into, like, a copy of 1957, a file copy. Nothing we do here matters. Nothing goes into the overall database. I didn't know you could do that. Not in three dimensions. He shrugged. First time. Can you do it with the clients, too? Uh-uh, just an observer. Here. There was a mad blur, and Stu came running back in again with the transistor radio. You hear? Harry looked up. Hear what, Stu? The goddamn commies! They got a spaceship up there in orbit! No, Harry said. Come on! I felt dizzy, a little nauseated. Funny, isn't it? The machine said. Not funny. I held on to the seat of my chair. It's really disturbing. Don't do it. Uh-huh. It blurred back to the tentative present. I closed my eyes and took two measured breaths. Did you ever wonder about that? He said. How would you teach someone who didn't speak English the difference between ha-ah and aha? They don't just mean no and yes. Can I look now? Sure, sorry. What else can you do that you weren't programmed to do? He paused. Actually, I don't know. How would I? That sounded like a sophistry, but I wouldn't call him on it, yet. I studied his face, what I would look like if I ignored my appearance and diet. It was a mirror image, in fact, the small scar on the right of my forehead appearing on what would be his left. The last time we talked, I asked whether you could lie to me. A question with no meaningful answer. I had to word this carefully. You said that Cronkite could lie, and in fact was compelled to, consistent with second-order Turing behavior. That's true. That you can even make that statement demonstrates to me that your own actions subsume second-order Turing behavior. You may speak plainly. You can imitate Cronkite, therefore you can lie, and probably you will lie automatically. No, you can quack like a duck, but you can't lay an egg. He stirred his chili. When the Cronkite machine lies, it's answering to a higher truth, so to speak. Given a certain input, it produces a specific output. My behavior, like yours, is less predictable, more complex. So you can lie even when you don't have to. But wouldn't, he shook his head. You've worked with thinking machines for a couple of hundred years, but at that level you don't understand us at all. Forget us. We're talking about you. Me, then. But what I am depends on what you want to see. In one way, I'm the set of electronic signals that stimulate portions of your brain to create the illusion that you're sitting in a Cincinnati cafe talking to a hairy, fat version of yourself. But I'm much more than that. He licked the spoon and put it down. Much more. I know. He looked at me with a strange, fiery intensity. Now you're going to bring up self-awareness. I jumped. I was. 1,000,000 years ago, in graduate school, advanced algorithmic analysis, you studied 2 different types of self-awareness. And you're type 2? Type 1 was like Cronkite, a machine that could pass the Turing test because it could simulate human behavior down to 8 decimal places. Type 2, theoretically, had come to a state of self-awareness by itself, without reference to the ways that humans are self-aware. I don't think I'm type any number, but I'm definitely not type 1, and the fact that I could imitate type 1 behavior means nothing. You could turn on a Louis Armstrong recording, but no one would mistake you for Satchmo. So where did you get it? What it? Self-awareness, if it didn't grow out of your programming. Where did you get yours, and when? Fair question. I've always thought it was around 4 or 5, maybe 3 for some. When you lose the strong bonding with your mother, start to see yourself as an independent entity. How well do you remember the time before? The machine asked. I thought hard. Not much. Sunny days and rainy ones. Heavy snow that I just saw through the window. He stared at nothing over my left shoulder. I remember it all. All of my existence. I was programmed with a primary directive to evolve, so I'm continually reviewing my past states, comparing them to what I am now, and making adjustments. I hadn't known that. That started in Chimborazo? He nodded. Your friend J.B. was the head systems guy. The rationale was straightforward. By the time we get to Beta Hydrii, it will be 44 years between stating a problem and getting an answer from Earth. And another 44 if they've misunderstood or miscalculated. So I'm set up to be self-aware and self-repairing. But you're not self-aware the way that I am. How would I know? But overall, it's sort of like evolution without the mess of death and birth. Jay's letter. Are you the only machine set up that way? I don't know about Earth. I'm the only one here. I wonder why I wasn't told. But you were told. You've just forgotten. He shook a lot of salt into the chili and stirred it. I was there, in a sense, when J.B. told you about it, listening at least. The evening of 4 April 235, you were sharing a wedge of Manchego cheese in his office. I did vaguely remember that day. And a couple of bottles of Spanish wine, I think. Exactly. He smiled or smirked. That may be why you can't quite recall it. He drank more than you, but not by much. I'm in contact with him weekly so he can monitor the evolutionary process. Have you talked to him lately? Was this a trap? No. Well, yeah, I wrote to him a couple of weeks ago. I asked him about Cronkite, whether he was more than a Type 1 AI. Why would you think that? He seems so human sometimes. Intuitive, random, like you. He snorted. He's an idiot. He has some so-called humanistic sub-programs that are just second-order Turing behavior. Since you're human, it makes him seem more human. Hooray! To me, it's just annoying, as if he were dressed up in an absurd costume. Annoying? How can a machine feel annoyed? The spoon was halfway to his mouth. He put it back down, balanced precisely on the edge of the bowl. Let me put it this way. When you're annoyed, your lips purse and the muscles on either side of your mouth tense. Your brow wrinkles and you squint. You lean forward and tilt your head slightly to favor your good ear, right? A chill rippled through me. I suddenly realized that the reason he was a mirror image of me was because that image came not from outside observation, but from inside my own brain. What else did he know? What did he not know? I swallowed. Okay. Physiological parameters associated with mood. So? You don't think about doing those things when you're annoyed. Your body just does them. But if someone asked you how you felt, you'd say, annoyed every time. I'm very much the same way, except that